This is joint work by myself, Tanya, Tzachi, and my advisor, Mark Zilberstein. So overall, what do? We enable efficient file I/O for GPUs. We do this in order to support diverse I/O workloads. We do this by making peer-to-peer a first-class citizen within the file I/O stack. And as a result, we achieve better throughput for several applications. We have a standard file API, which selectively interleaves peer-to-peer transfer mechanism in order to speed up data transfers. And we're also cross-GPU portable. So a little background. GPU applications require fast data transfers. Now, when this data resides within an SSD, performance is usually bounded by the extra copies CPU-mediated data transfers introduce. So if we take a look at this simplistic system overview, we can see an SSD and a GPU both connected on the PCI Express. Now, with CPU-mediated data transfers, the data will have an additional hop via the system memory. We shall refer to this data transfer method as CPU I/O. So due to these inefficiencies, GPU vendors now offer the feature of peer-to-peer transfers, which means that they offer DMA-capable devices to transfer data directly into the GPU's internal memory without going via the system memory. So if we take a look again at this simplistic system overview, we can see now the data just moves between the SSD and the GPU without having that additional hop within the system memory. Prior work has shown that this eliminates redundant data copies, that it removes CPU from the data path, it enables better power efficiency, and also has higher throughput with lower latency. So one might think, overall, peer-to-peer is great. If we take a look at this example, which shows the performance of sequential reads of both peer-to-peer and CPU I/O, the x-axis is the request block size, and the y-axis is the relative throughput to peer-to-peer. We can see peer-to-peer as a red line and CPU I/O as a bars. So specifically for 512 kilobyte reads, we can see that peer-to-peer offers a 1.4x speedup over CPU I/O. But this is only true for specific data access patterns. If we take a look at the example where we have 512 byte sequential reads, we can clearly see that peer-to-peer is slower than CPU I/O. Specifically, it's 33 times slower than CPU I/O. This slide is just to show that, that peer-to-peer is not a silver bullet. You can't use it for everything. So overall, what went wrong? Peer-to-peer bypassed the kernel, the Linux kernel. That means that there's no page cache integration, that peer-to-peer cannot reap the benefits of files which reside within the page cache. There's also no read-ahead mechanism in order to speed up these data transfers. Peer-to-peer is also quite hard to utilize, as there is currently no standard API to invoke this transfer mechanism. Also, currently, peer-to-peer cannot be used to access data in misaligned addresses. For example, NVMe has 512 bytes, and you can't access in between. It is also incompatible with underlying block device drivers, such as LVM and MDADM, or software RAID. Also, peer-to-peer does not offer any file consistency. So, for example, if we update file data and it resides within the page cache, then we invoke a peer-to-peer data transfer, we risk reading stale data. This would require us to explicitly flush data into the SSD from the page cache. So what is our objective? What do we want to do? We want to enable out-of-the-box support for peer-to-peer or optimized data transfers. We can see in this slide a very simple pread64 call, which reads data from a file which resides on an SSD, and we can see a pointer into an internal GPU buffer. This is a CPU map GPU buffer, which we can use in order to transfer data. So what are our contributions? Our contributions include the standard API in order to invoke peer-to-peer whenever it's deemed beneficial. And also, it will support underlying block transfer block layers, such as MDADM and LVM. We also retain POSIX file semantics and data consistency. This is especially useful when you have a CPU and GPU both working on the same data. You would want to work with the correct updated data. We also combine peer-to-peer and page cache transfers in order to speed up data transfer when we can. And we also enable GPU read-ahead for when we determine that the data access is sequential. Thus, we can, just like in Linux kernel, speed up these sequential data accesses. If we take a look at the high-level system overview of spin, we can see many components. Let's take a small example, run through it, and we'll explain the components along the way. So here we have a pread system call, and that generates a request. The request first goes into the pRouter component of spin. The pRouter component first determines whether this request came from a compatible SSD device, whether it's destined towards a GPU, whether it's part of a sequential read, it will actually console the pRead ahead checker, and also it will check whether part of this request resides within the page cache via looking into the pcache checker. The pRouter will then choose one out of two transfer mechanisms in order to transfer the data. If it's deemed beneficial, the request will be forwarded to the page cache component of spin. This component is basically the OS page cache with a nested GPU page cache within it and a GPU read-ahead mechanism. The request is then just forwarded from the page cache directly into the GPU without invoking the SSD. The second option is going via the peer-to-peer route, which means passing it to the peer-to-peer DMA component of spin. This component includes an address tunneling mechanism, which is used to overcome certain kernel limitations, which today disallow peer-to-peer data transfers directly from block device. Specifically, the struct page is something that's currently our main obstacle. So we utilize this address tunneling mechanism in order to forward the request directly into the SSD and then invoke a peer-to-peer transfer without going through the system memory and without polluting the page cache. Now, there's also a third option. When it's deemed beneficial and when it can be done, a request is actually split into parts. Part of this request is forwarded via the page cache, and the other part via peer-to-peer. This is done in order to speed up data transfers. Now, due to the shortness of time, we're going to take a look at the pcache checker. You can read more about the other components in our paper, which is currently available on the Unix site. So, our objective now is to combine page cache and peer-to-peer data transfers. Sometimes the requested data resides within the page cache. Now, this can be due to prior use by the CPU. And we can see in this graph the performance metrics for peer-to-peer and page cache transfers. The x-axis is the request size, and the y-axis is the transfer time it takes. From this graph, it's kind of obvious that transferring data from the page cache is much faster than invoking a peer-to-peer data transfer. So, again, let's take a look at a simple example of a pread64 system call, which reads 5 pages of 4 kilobytes each from an SSD into a GPU. When we're in the case where the page cache is empty, that means there is no data that's part of our request that resides within the page cache, we're going to transfer the data utilizing our peer-to-peer mechanism directly from the SSD into the GPU. On the other hand, when all of the data resides within the page cache, as such, we'll transfer the data directly from the page cache into the GPU without invoking any SSD calls. But the more interesting question is, what happens when only some of the data resides within the page cache? As we can see in this example, the even pages, 1 and 3, reside within the page cache, as well as the SSD, and the other pages, the even ones, reside only in the SSD. Should we somehow interleave these data transfers? Should we invoke peer-to-peer and page cache at this granularity, at the page granularity? Well, as it turns out, it's going to be a bad idea, okay? Why is it going to be such a bad idea to interleave these data transfers at such a fine granularity? So, in order to interleave these data transfers, we would have to invoke 3 peer-to-peer data transfers. Each one of these transfers would take approximately 40 microseconds, resulting in 120 microseconds of doing 3 transfers. On the other hand, transferring a single chunk of 20 kilobytes via the peer-to-peer mechanism would take us 74 microseconds. So, what happened? This is because SSDs, when you issue a request, first of all, you have the invocation overhead. The second thing is, SSDs, when faced with very small requests, the requests themselves expose less parallelism for the SSD to exploit. So we're currently faced with an optimization problem. We want to know when we can split up a request, how to split it up, or better yet, find the best transfer mechanism or best transfer schedule in order to minimize the overall transfer time of the data. In order to solve this problem, we need 2 functions. These functions will return the transfer time it would take for a specific data size. One function will be for the peer-to-peer transfer mechanism, and the other function will be for the page cache mechanism. So what we have done, we have measured our SSD and our page cache performance, and we run regression, which yielded up with pretty accurate results, and we found that we could model these performance characteristics with a piecewise linear function for peer-to-peer and a linear function for RAM. Now, with these two functions, we can solve this problem with dynamic programming in polynomial time. But this will be quite costly to calculate per data transfer. So what we do is we apply a greedy heuristic in which we take a look at three consecutive data chunks, where the two outer data chunks reside only in the SSD, and the middle data chunk reside in the SSD and the page cache as well. Sorry. And then we run a pretty simplistic analysis. We compare the time it would take to transfer all of these three segments in a peer-to-peer data transfer, in one peer-to-peer data transfer, or to break this up into three separate transfers, where the middle transfer will be from the page cache, and the two other transfers will be via peer-to-peer. Our evaluation shows that this approach, the greedy approach, is only 1.6% slower than the optimal solution. And this, of course, excludes the time it would take to calculate this optimal solution every time. In our implementation, we have, again, two data transfer mechanisms. The first is peer-to-peer, and the second is page cache. The peer-to-peer mechanism utilizes our address tunneling mechanism, as mentioned before, and the page cache transfer mechanism is a simplistic memcopy from the page cache into internal GPU buffer, which is mapped into CPU address space. So we've implemented Spin as a kernel module, an LD preload library, and a patch 10 VME driver. There are no kernel modifications needed in order to run Spin. We measured our system on an Intel P3700 NVMe SSD, an AMD Radeon R9 Fury, and an NVIDIA Tesla K40C. We have evaluated the following experiments. We've used the threaded I/O or TIO test with 1 to 4 threads in order to measure the sequential read throughput, and we also tested out software RAID to make sure that it works and also get performance speedups. We also measured the performance of random reads and writes, the effects of page cache residency on the overall read throughput, and the effects of CPU and I/O stress on the overall read throughput. We've also implemented and tested three application benchmarks, which include an aerial imagery rendering, a GPU-accelerated log server, and an image collage utilizing GPU-FS. Again, due to the shortness of time, we're going to take a look at only the two evaluations marked in red. So the first evaluation is the effects on page cache on overall read throughput. We do this in order to realize the potential that we can gain from hybrid CPU-GPU workloads or producer-consumer workloads. So we can see in this graph, the x-axis depicts the portion of the file which is resident within the page cache, and the y-axis is the relative throughput to Spin, where Spin is our system, is a constant line, is 100%. When we compare Spin to the peer-to-peer transfer mechanism, we can see that peer-to-peer performance rapidly declines when we compare it to Spin. This is due to peer-to-peer's inability to reap the benefits of the page cache when the files are resident within the page cache. And Spin obviously can read this data. When we compare CPU I/O, the CPU-mediated data transfer, to Spin, we can see that for nearly all the x-axis, Spin is faster than CPU I/O. Now, except of the edges are the extremes of this graph where Spin introduces a maximum of 5% overhead. This is, as we can see, CPU I/O can reap the benefits of the page cache, thus is a little faster than Spin at 100%, as Spin has all the other overhead I've mentioned before, and peer-to-peer, again, for the same reason, at 0%. We've also implemented a GPU-accelerated log server, which, in essence, what it does, it gets a log from somewhere, maybe another server, and it stores the log on an SSD. And when the log is stored on an SSD, it analyzes the log in order to determine whether certain events took place. If we take a look at, let's say, fail to ban, which is currently installed on many servers around the net, what it does, it analyzes the log in order to find failed authentication attempts. And when found specific number of authentication or failed authentication attempts, it will block the culprit's IP. We have done something similar to that, only, but we are also utilizing GPU for accelerated string matching. We have two setups for this system. The first setup is a real-time configuration, where the log is streamed into the server and stored into an SSD. And when it's stored into the SSD, we will then invoke our GPU analysis in order to find out whether something happened or not. We also have the offline configuration, where all of the logs are already stored within an SSD, and then we'll invoke our analysis program. Now, we want our code, the same code, to work well for those two setups. Sometimes we don't even really know in which setup we're currently at. So in our real-time configuration, we can see CPU I/O and spin and peer-to-peer all compared together and measure their bandwidth. We can clearly see that spin and CPU I/O are at least 3 times better than peer-to-peer in this data transfer. This is because spin and CPU I/O can reap the benefits of the page cache, relieving I/O stress from the actual SSD, while peer-to-peer will have to wait in order to get this data and then transfer it back into the GPU. The second configuration is the offline configuration, where we have spin and peer-to-peer both faster than CPU I/O. This is because spin and peer-to-peer can read straight from the SSD without having that additional hop within the system memory. To conclude, spin seamlessly integrates peer-to-peer as a first-class citizen within the file I/O stack. It utilizes several transfer mechanisms and interleaves them transparently in order to speed up data transfers. And with spin, the same code performs well under all setups. The code is currently available on GitHub. It will get updated. And I would like to thank everyone and gladly accept any questions.
Daniel Fryer from the University of Toronto. I was wondering, how does spin and CPU I/O compare in terms of CPU utilization? Do you have those numbers?
We have actually measured that, and it actually depends also where the data resides. Mm-hmm. So if it's in the page cache, then spin and CPU I/O have roughly the same usage. But when it's always peer-to-peer, then spin will have lower utilization of CPU.
Right, okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Nadav Amit, Technion. VMware. So how do you synchronize with the CPU when it comes to the page cache?
Pardon?
How do you synchronize with the CPU when it comes to the page cache? Do you increase the, do you manipulate the page tables, the struct page, increasing the count of taking a reference, and so on?
Your question is, how do I manipulate the...
You are on the GPU side.
Right.
You want to take a page from the page cache. You don't want to disappear.
I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. We're not on the GPU side. We're currently... These data transfers are peer-read data transfers directly running in CPU code. So the actual CPU is what's invoking this data transfers.
Okay, thanks.